Thank you for being here. Do you like stories? Yes? Amen? Okay. Jesus told lots of stories. Jesus told parables. We call them parables. They're stories. Parable means one truth that runs alongside the other. So he told a parable, a story, that you might understand something different. Stories, Jesus was a master teacher. And teachers understand that stories can be remembered. And they can be retold. Lectures, well, they tend not to stick. If I tell you a story about the birth of a baby in our parish, you'll remember it. If I tell you the story about a death of a dear saint in our parish, you will remember it. You can share that story with others. But if I preach a sermon with like 5 points, well, let's just say that at the end of the day, you may remember too, if you're a good student. Jesus told stories. But now it's 2,000 years after he told those stories. Some of the nuances of the story may be lost in translation. Jesus spoke in Aramaic. The stories lived in the oral tradition for 30 years or more. That means no one ever wrote them down. They would simply tell and retell those stories. And finally, when the stories were gathered together, they were written, but not in Aramaic. They were written in Hebrew. And 2,000 years later, they have been translated for us into English. Now, add to that the fact that perhaps the world has changed just a little bit in those 2,000 years, sometimes the point of the parable can be very hard for us to comprehend. So let me try to explain this in reverse. We'll try that. Imagine for a moment that we have a time machine. Instead of us going back, we run it the other way, and we bring a woman and a man here from Palestine, from a small village in Palestine where they lived 2,000 years ago, and they're transported here to Freeland, and when they get here and get kind of comfortable in their surroundings, I tell them a story that's supposed to teach them a truth. And here's the story. The kingdom of heaven is like a man whose children tweeted him a message on his Android smartphone. The message told him to open his email on his tablet where he would find a photoshopped picture. The picture was oh so precious, one that he would never want to lose, but he forgot to save it to the cloud and he only had 2 gigabytes of memory, so when his tablet updated, he lost the photo. So I stop there and I ask our guests, do you get it? And they go, what? I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's kind of how it is for us. As we venture back in time to sit at the feet of the master storyteller, the teacher Jesus, we are visitors to another time, another place, another culture, and the point of the story, the truth that runs parallel to the details of the story, can be very hard to comprehend. We're going to give it a try, though, for Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 of them were wise. The foolish bridesmaids took their lamps with them, but they took no oil with them. The wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Well, the bridegroom was delayed. All of the bridesmaids became drowsy and they fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, look, here is the groom, come out to meet him. Then all the bridesmaids got up, they trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some oil for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and then the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Jesus then ended with a little commentary. He said, keep awake, therefore, for you know not the day or the hour. The Gospel of the Lord. Yes, got it? Got it? Got the point? You've heard the story. You know the story now. You can remember the story. If I had you turn to your neighbor right now and tell the story, you could do it. If you had to tell the story tomorrow, you could do it. But the point might be lost in translation. Let's try again. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids, probably 14 years old, were very excited about the wedding party that was about to take place. So they took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. Now 5 of them filled their lamps to the very brim with oil. The bridegroom, after all, was expected to arrive at 4 p.m., and the wedding party would start soon thereafter, and the girls should be back home by midnight, and they had enough oil to last till midnight. The wise bridesmaids also brought their lamps with them, but they were wise beyond their 14 years, and they thought to themselves, you know, there is nothing predictable about this life. We make our plans, but who knows what's going to happen? There could be a ferry line. Worse yet, the ferry could be out of service. It could be the weekend of the Oyster Run or the Ragnar Race. The power could go out. There could be bad traffic on I-5. And we know these boys at the bachelor party. Sometimes they get a little carried away. Sometimes they drink too much, they lose track of time. So the 5 of them talked, and they decided to bring extra oil with them, just in case. Even though it was a little awkward for them to haul this oil around with them. Well, sure enough, the bridegroom was delayed. Now, I officiated at a wedding yesterday. It was a joyful, joyful celebration. But I would have been shocked if the groom had arrived late. A few minutes, maybe, but if the groom had been hours late, I would have been greatly disturbed. But 2,000 years ago, that was not the case. You see, wedding celebrations went on for 3 days, 4, maybe even more. And time was kind of relative. The wedding will start sometime. We're thinking 4 o'clock, but it actually could be 7, or it might be 10. But when it did start, that party would be amazing and the entire community would join the celebration. Now, given this 2,000-year-old reality, it was not uncommon for the groomsmen to play a little trick on the wedding party. No, they didn't tie tin cans to the tail of the family donkey. They would try to surprise the wedding party by showing up at an unexpected time. Now, this tradition has long since disappeared. We can thank evolution for that. You see, grooms who decided to start their married life off by ticking off their bride and their mother-in-law with adolescent pranks became extinct. Anyway, there's one more thing you should know about the culture and the time, and that would be something that everyone would know hearing this story from Jesus. Women were not allowed out in the street at night alone, and they weren't allowed out in the street at night unless they had a lamp that was lit. So, the wise bridesmaids expected the unexpected. They prepared for the delay. They brought extra oil with them. The groom was delayed. We don't know. A flat tire, a prank, couldn't find the ring, couldn't find the car. It really doesn't matter. The girls got tired. The promised wedding party had now become a pajama party. And next to the soft light of the lamps, they fell asleep after hours of playing truth or dare, talking about boys and their parents and hairstyles and shoes. At midnight, the groom's arrival was announced. The girls jumped up, excited for the long-awaited party, a celebration that would include the entire community. It was the opportunity to drink and to dance with young men who might one day become their grooms. But suddenly there was panic. Panic in the ranks. 5 of them noticed that their lamps were beginning to lose their flicker. Running out of oil. Their flames about to go out. So the foolish bridesmaids, who had only prepared for what was predictable. And life is not predictable. The party that they had imagined would end at midnight was now starting at midnight, and they were in danger of missing out altogether. So what did they do? Well, they begged their sisters to share oil with them. But contrary to everything they had learned in preschool, contrary to everything they'd learned in Sunday school, they refused to share. If they shared, they feared that their lamps too would run out of oil, and then they would all be left in the dark and miss the celebration. In the panic, the foolish girls ran out to find those who were selling oil. Well, needless to say, this was a very small village, even smaller than Freeland. So let me ask you, if you need something at midnight in Freeland, where do you go? That's right. Nothing's open. The dealers were not at work in our story. Where were they? They were not at home sleeping. No. They were walking with their lamps lit to the wedding feast. They did not want to be late for the party. They know that everyone is invited to the wedding feast, but they also know that once those doors close, they close. Once the last ferry pulls, it's too late. Once a loved one dies, it's too late. Once you've taken your final breath, it's too late. For some things anyway, the clock simply runs out. Jesus looked up at his listeners. They got it. They understood it. It all made sense to them. And then the big finish. Keep awake, for you do not know the day or the hour. So now the challenge for us is to figure out what in the world God wants us to know. Just what does this parable of Jesus have to say to us? How will this old story help us to order our lives? I think the first thing we need to take away from this story is something that's very obvious. The world, the universe, indeed all of creation is ordered. Times, seasons, orbits, heartbeats, blood flow, the sun rises, the sun sets, the moon illuminates the night sky and regulates the rising and falling of the tides, renewing our oceans. It is all mostly predictable. Creation is ordered. And at the same time, creation is random. Some things just happen. No explanation. They just happen. In other words, thanks to the laws of physics and keen observation, we can predict most things, but the unexpected does happen, and it happens more often than we think. Perhaps the unexpected is some sort of divine miracle, God intervening, but more often, the unexpected can be attributed to a certain random chaos that temporarily breaks the order of creation. The unexpected does happen. Grooms are delayed. A tree falls on a woman walking in the woods. Someone wins the lottery. The power goes out. Lung cancer appears in a woman who never smoked a day in her life. Donald Trump is elected president. The Cubs win the World Series. Now, who could have predicted these things? You see, the unexpected does happen. Therefore, we should expect that there will be unpredictable twists and turns in the stories of our lives. And we should prepare. Be wise. Be ready. In this story, the only difference between the wise and the foolish bridesmaids was preparation. There's no substitute for preparation. You remember the story of Moses in the Old Testament? He led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. But before Moses, there was Joseph. Joseph helped save the people of Egypt from famine. What did he do? Quite simply, when the weather cooperated and bumper crops were harvested, Joseph put up a portion of the grain for a rainy day or for long seasons or years when no rain came at all. Joseph understood that life is not predictable, that the weather is not predictable, and that farming is kind of a crapshoot. So Joseph, in the midst of abundance, prepared for seasons of famine. Now, for just a moment, I want you to think back on your own life and your own life story. Has everything played out just as you expected when you were a teenager or in your 20s? Has your life been like a straight line, just a smooth ride down the interstate? Or have you spent more time on detours, back roads, in hospitals or rehab, sitting in the dark, shaking your fist towards heaven and scratching your head, trying to figure out how in the world I ended up in this mess? You know, since Felicia and I have been married, in our personal lives, we've experienced one miscarriage, two back surgeries, one premature death, one suicide, one intervention, three cross-country moves. I taught the girls to drive and soon thereafter helped the auto body shop owner buy a boat and Harley. There have been times of austerity. After some unpredictable bad luck, we instituted a spending freeze. For 7 months, we ate only at home, nowhere else, did not travel, saved every penny to pay bills. We planned to spend 1 year in the Northwest, and then later we planned on staying in Freeland no more than 5 years. And in the parish, as I think about our life together, I could not begin to recount all the unpredictable happenings, the tragic stories, the unexpected deaths, the unexpected pregnancies, the bitter betrayals, but far greater, by any measure, were the unexpected blessings of God. Blessings that far exceeded what anyone could have imagined. You see, the unexpected does happen, and it happens a lot more than we think. So keep awake, pay attention, prepare for the unexpected. Prepare as you were able. Be prudent. Save for a rainy day. Prepare your house for old age. Make sure that your estate plan is up to date. Get ready for the earthquake. It could come. Get ready for the power outage. Could be tonight. Prepare and wait. Wait for the party to start. Wait through the darkness of winter or the darkness of night, believing that a new day will dawn. Wait in faith, knowing that God has promised that your tears will give way to laughter, that seasons of famine will give way to bountiful harvest. Wait for the groom to arrive. The promised party, it's going to be amazing. And finally, live. Live knowing that at some point, time will run out. Time always runs out in real life. Doors close, the bar runs out of booze, the party shuts down, opportunities pass never to return. Your parents die. Your children grow up and move away. The fences that need to be mended will someday be beyond repair. Be prepared. Wait for the party. And know that time will one day run out. So what can you do this week? Well, there's a lot you can do this week. Take an inventory. Make a list. Check things off that list. Prepare for delays and detours that are bound to be a part of your journey. What else you can do? Well, like the bridesmaids in our parable, sometimes there's nothing for you to do but to wait. Sometimes, much to our chagrin, we just have to wait. But as you wait, do not lose hope. Waiting is by nature a hopeful experience. And God has promised to wait with us and in God's time to take us home. Much of life is waiting. Much of life is out of our control. Sometimes all you can do is wait in faith. How then shall I live? Well, I would encourage you to mend those fences before the opportunity passes. Send a letter. Make a phone call. Say thank you and say I love you. Say you're sorry before they die, before your lamp runs out of oil. In short, live as Jesus taught you. He told stories. He also washed feet. He forgave those who betrayed him. And he died for us. That's grace. Grace, grace, grace. God's love comes to us as pure gift. We're all invited to the party. But the clock is ticking. Amen.